I must say, I just wanted to introduce Jules. Not that he needs any introduction, but I just wanted to introduce our dear friend, our wonderful brother Jules, that I've known Jules for at least 20 years, and it's been a privilege to work alongside. It's such a wonderful thing to be not a church isolated, but a church together. A church is working in this area for the common goal of seeing people one for Christ and working together shoulder to shoulder. And I must say that as far as Jules is concerned, his heart, his generous heart to want to see God's kingdom come, God's will be done here in this part of London, is absolutely fantastic. And so, Jules, we honour you. We say thank you so much for sparing the time to come and speak to us. Let's give another warm, warm round. Jules Masoki.
Thank you. Thank you. A word for you, sister. God's love never fails. Never fails. Never runs out. It never runs out on you. None of your prayers are fruitless. God hears them all. Amen. Praise God. From the Lent period through to the Easter season, we expressly remember those moments that opened eternity for the undeserving at the cost of the life of the one who is eternally worthy. His deathbed was the cross. How many people would love to spend the last hours on a cross? We would love to be on a well-padded bed. But Jesus' death bed was wonderful. Matthew chapter 27, I read from verse 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. I hope that's how it's pronounced. Forgive me, I don't speak the language. My God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked. And the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and Jews ran away. Now, I wonder how many people will still be there when the graves open. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The Son of God. The deliverance we have is not through any other cross. Mind you, there were three crosses, one on the left and another on the right of the crucified man of God. But through the only and one cross of Jesus Christ, we received deliverance. The cross is the central theme of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In London, there are a number of crosses. We know New Cross. Very close to us, we know King's Cross. And so on, you name it. But the geographical heart of London is Charing Cross, name derived from the most famous of the beautiful Eleanor crosses. All distances are measured from this landmark, which is simply referred to as the cross. A small boy lost in the London fog, was unable to find his way home, even with help of a policeman. Finally, he said, "Sir, if you will take me to the cross, I think I can find my way home from here." We have eternal life because of the cross. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Jesus says again, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he die." My reading is this: I will die. I may die, but I will live. Amen? Can you tell yourself? I may die, but I will live. I can't hear you. "And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Is that scripture on the screen? What does the last part say? Do you believe this? Jesus is asking you, do you believe this? Death may come, but do you believe that you will live? Do you believe this? That's not my question. This is the Lord Jesus' question to each and every one of us. Do you believe this? Because he knows that we have some kind of unbelief in us. Do you believe this? We have divine healing because of the cross. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We will get sick, we will fall ill, but we will be healed. Amen? We have Abraham's heritage because of the cross. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, "Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Fellow children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent." In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God will justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. We have the promise. We have the promised riches because of the cross. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." When and where did Jesus become poor? At the cross. Jesus became poor at the cross, taking your poverty, your poverty, your poverty, my poverty, and gave us the riches of Abraham, the riches of our Heavenly Father, beset before the foundation of the earth, and made us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are kings and priests unto God. What can get better than that? 1 Peter chapter 2. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hey, yo, I receive. Hey, yo. Bless you. We have peace with God because of the cross. So the Lord God banished Adam from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. The man and his wife, who once talked with the Lord God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day, now they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Sin separated them from the Lord God. Then came the cross, where Jesus, the Son of God, reached in the deepest depths, where my soul was floundering in sin, and took my sinful hand and placed it on his own blood-soaked chest. And he reached in the highest heaven and took the hand of his Father, placed it on top of mine. Hence, the holy hand of God and our hands are put together, and peace was made between God and man. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And Jesus Christ himself is the first. He practiced what he preached, the peacemaker. We have divine victory because of the cross. Because of the cross, every demon in hell trembles in fear when you mention the name of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Without the cross, all is empty rituals. A ceremony without change. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. No righteousness, no forgiveness. Without the cross, it is impossible to be saved. Think about that. It is impossible to be delivered. Think about that. Impossible to be healed. To have joy, hope, peace, and confidence in Jesus Christ. It is not possible to be an heir and a joint heir with Jesus if you had not been to the cross. There only is where you are going to find it, because Christ is the answer to eternal life. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And again he says, he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it." And again in Luke chapter 9, he says, "Then to all of them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross." Underline this word, daily. Daily, we don't take it once, every day, and follow him. "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Amen. Paul, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, did not say, "God forbid that I should glory or boast on my achievements or the Sermon on the Mount." But this is what he said, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. It will probably come on the screen. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because without the cross, all means nothing." Without the cross, all the message of the gospel has no power. And the Christian faith will be no different to other religions and beliefs. The cross is the altar upon which Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed once and for all for the forgiveness of our sins. And Christ raising from the dead makes the power of the gospel accessible to all of us, to you and to me. Now, many go to the cross for the forgiveness of their sin, but how many go to the cross to tell Jesus Christ they want his way of life? Would you today go to the cross and tell Jesus you want his way of life in total surrender? We sing a song, I surrender all, I surrender all. Unto thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I know all means A-L-L, all, everything. What is that in all we don't understand? It means all. To glory or to boast on the cross demands not to go to the cross just for forgiveness only, but to say to the Lord, I am willing to be crucified with you. I give you all control over me. This now means I die. My egoism dies. My arrogance dies. My self-righteousness dies. My pomposity dies. You surrender your talents and abilities, skills and gifts, ambitions and resources to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Not my will, but yours, O Lord, be done. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Matthew 26. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. How many people can say that? Father, not my will, but your will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them, what? Sleeping. Would you be awake when somebody needs your praying travail? Will you be awake when somebody needs your prevailing prayer? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The adversary of the cross is your flesh. Is your marriage desire in the hand of God? Are your desires in marriage in the hand of God and in line with God? Do you serve at work as unto the Lord? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth, better than any diet. Father, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Employees, obey your earthly managers with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as employees of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whatever they are, slave or free. And managers, masters, treat your servants in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both the master and yours is in heaven. Are you in that position of authority at work? There is no favoritism with God, the Bible tells us. Colossians chapter 3, obey your earthly leaders in everything and do it not only when the eye is on you and carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human authorities. This is to say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Is the cross central in your life, in your thinking, in your speech, in your relationship, in your marriage? Do people notice the cross in you? Not only the one on your neckline or tattooed on your skin, not just wear it, but carry it. Most of us here are saved. How many people are saved in this place? But I wonder, are we truly free? Are we truly free? Many are controlled by other people, controlled by religious rules, controlled by false concepts about God, controlled by fear and failure of the past, controlled by lusts of the eye, of the belly, and of the flesh, controlled emotionally by a manipulative force, controlled by sin. Today, by God's grace, accept the deliverance and be free. Amen. Because of the power of the cross and the resurrection from those things that hold you captive and torment you. Christ has come that you may have life. John 10 tells us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Any religion or faith without the cross of Jesus is pure legalism. The cross delivers from legalism, man-made rules to obtain favor with God. Anything that you cannot back by the word of God, the Bible, you ought to forget. By the same token, I am not interested in being politically correct. I am interested in being Christically correct. God does not need our help to upgrade his word, the Holy Scriptures. For all will pass away, but not his word. We are not saved through the cross plus man-made rules, whether politically correct or not. But God forbid, Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, we are saved by the cross and nothing else. So glory only on the cross. It is the blood that removes the stain of sin and nothing else. It is the blood that conquers the forces of hell and nothing else, as my God's Son says. It is the blood of Christ that terrifies every demon on the planet and nothing else. It is his blood that sets the captives free and nothing else. It is his blood that conquers sickness and disease and nothing else. It is Christ crucified, the Son of the living God, and nothing else. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is the power of the resurrected, risen Son of God's blood-stained cross. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let's give God a clapping of our hands. We thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory to God. The Galatians were confronted by the Apostle Paul for the legalism about circumcision. Today, the message of the cross is undermined by political correctness or social fitness. What fits with the society, this is what we want to adopt, which attempts to establish new rules of self-righteousness by which man calls man to live, even within the church by Christians. God's word is final. Tell your neighbor, God's word is final if you believe it. If man can be saved by keeping the rules of man, then Jesus died in vain. Hence the cross is useless and powerless. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The cross. The cross. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Having cancelled all the charges of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross of Jesus. Now notice how rather different to other churches Paul addresses the church at Galatia, because of substituting salvation by the cross by man-made rules of circumcision. Galatians chapter 3, he addresses them this way: oh, foolish Galatians, foolish. We know in Matthew, Jesus said this, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Right? That's what Jesus tells us. But so Paul says this word, calling the Galatians foolish, you fools. Paul is getting as close as it gets to cursing and risking hellfire Jesus talked about. This cannot be taken lightly. Not only calls them fools, he calls them again bewitched. All because of legalism, law, man-made rules. Bewitched. It is to be under the control of witchcraft. Whilst the Galatians claimed to be saved, spirit-filled, to have miracles in the church. Yes, they had all of this. But yet Paul declared them foolish and bewitched because they undermined the power of the cross. Christ crucified by the works of the law. Whether political, social, or else, it brings... Law brings manipulation, intimidation, domination, and condemnation. And Jesus came to set us free from all these things. Manipulation in marriage, for example. How spouses promise intimacy for personal gain. If you do what I want right now, tonight in the bedroom, it's going to be very special. But if you don't, then embargo. Embargo for weeks. And for weeks, you are going to be married to a block of ice, a solid wall of silence. We know what we do. Let's drive a few points home. Intimidation in the church. Preachers can be threatened not to preach on certain verses and topics. A preacher gets a letter, it says, if you don't stop preaching on that subject, I'm leaving the church. And do you know what you ought to say? Preachers, goodbye. The devil seeks to control the church by the man's own way, legalism or works of the law, through domination and condemnation. If the devil can get you to follow your own rules, you can't possibly be following Christ's rules. You are in danger. Amen. Guilt drives people to condemnation. When you are self-righteous, you are untouchable. You become untouchable because you become God, and you will condemn other people. And condemnation brings guilt. Jesus Christ died on the cross to deliver us from all condemnation. Romans 8 tells us, therefore there is no now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus, through him, the law of the Spirit who gives us life has set us free. free from the law of sin and death. For the law was powerless to do. For what the law was powerless to do, it was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned in sin in the flesh. The cross took it all away. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. Don't let anybody come to you and try to lay their self-righteous guilt on you. The prince of darkness will whisper in your ear, trying to wring guilt and a lack of self-worth by saying, if you were really spiritual, this wouldn't be happening to you right now. You wouldn't be sick. You wouldn't fail. Trouble would not come your way. Have you ever had this kind of thought go through your head? The devil is whispering. He does. Satan enjoys reminding you of your sins of the past, your inadequacies, imperfection, failures, to taunt and tear you down, to mock and scoff, to discourage and to destroy you. Don't let the guilt eat you alive or place you under the control of demonic influence or manipulation or force or spirit. Don't let the joy of Christ be taken from you to feel inferior, dehumanized, unworthy, without value. Come off the guilt road trip. Your sins have been forgiven at the cross of Jesus Christ. The devil reminds you of your ugly past, but God wants to show you your happy and blessed future. Do the one thing Paul did. Philippians chapter 3. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. For God wants to fill you with blessing, favor, joy, prosperity, happiness. For all these things belong to the children of God. Receive the joy of the Lord that lifts up sorrow. Hallelujah. After his dream of greatness, this man we know very well, Joseph, went through hell. He got at first thrown down into a pit by his own brothers and then sold out twice into slavery and furthermore accused falsely of rape by the hormonal wife of Potiphar and subsequently thrown into jail for not less a good dozen of years. Perhaps, like you, like me, he had asked himself, Lord, if I am in your will, why am I here? Why am I in hell? In hell on earth? What am I doing in Egypt? Was my vision some kind of hallucination? Do you ask yourself these kind of questions? Lord, you showed me. What's going on? I'm going the opposite way. Don't you know that when you get a revelation about what's going to happen in the future, you sometimes have to go through a valley? However, the deeper the valley, the greater the reward. Joseph took up his cross and God was with him. The God of the mountain is the God of the valley. And the one who called you can sustain you. The one who showed you your future can produce your future. And he can do so overnight. From the pit or prison to the palace in a day. Swiftly by the grace of God, you will recapture everything the devil had stolen from you. It will be given back to you many folds. With an abundance that will stagger your mind. Nothing is impossible to those who believe and are called according to the purposes of God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. who have been called according to his purpose. Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the fathers of the boy, whom the disciples couldn't heal, but Jesus did heal, exclaimed, I do believe. But see what he says after this line. Read it out loud for me, please. Unbelief. I do believe. I've got unbelief. Are you one of these people? Am I one of these people? On one hand, I say I believe, but yet there is unbelief underneath. What I know about Christians today is not what we proclaim and declare outwardly, but it is what is hidden underneath. Underneath, we come to church, we are happy, but yet underneath, there is sadness. You know this wonderful way of greeting, I am blessed and highly favored and this and wonderfully made, and people go on and on and on about it. But yet they go home, completely different people. Are you one of them? Unbelief. But hear the voice of this father. What does he say? Help me overcome my unbelief. Will you pray this prayer today? Say, Lord Jesus, help me overcome my unbelief. There's a thread of unbelief in me. Help me overcome it. When one knows the result, the weight is worth the reward. Not true? When one knows the end, the long journey is worth the destination. When one knows the destination, the bumpy ride is worth the glory. And when one knows the glory, the pain is worth the crown. Think of your future in Christ, no matter the pain today. Remember Joseph. Hebrews chapter 12, Dr. Luke tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. For the joy, he'd seen it, because he'd seen the glory, he'd seen the crown. And whatever happened in between, he could take it, because he'd seen the glory. You know, any Arsenal fan in the house? Yay! Let's give ourselves a round of applause. You see, quite often I miss the game. But then my son, who is my sport chronicler, will tell me the score. But yet, I will still want to watch the game. But now, you see, no matter what happens, we can be a goal down or two goals down. Because I know the end result, I can bear to watch the game. When you know the end result, the route, the way gets easier. And this is what happened with Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The one who gave you the vision will give you the strength to go through trial. Amen? Trouble is easier to handle when and where there is knowledge it is not going to last. When I knew at the end, which is not far away, my studies, my first degree will be over, I just kept on going. And the medical school was just like a snap. Somebody will say, I don't think so. It truly was. There might be nothing joyful about the cross, but it is a means to an end, a glorious end. John 16, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. I have told you so that you may have peace. You know the end, so you can have peace now. Whatever you go through. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus says, in this world, we will have what? Trouble. When trouble comes your way, what is your reaction? What is your response? What is my response? We are not immune. But take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. You will remember the story of the apostles in the book of Acts, chapter 5, 40 to 41. He says, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. And the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Isn't it crazy? After being flogged, will you go away rejoicing? And that's what they did. Because they knew the end. And Revelation chapter 3 tells us, the one who is victorious will be dressed in white. Oh, I long for that dress. Better than any designer dress you can buy on a high street. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever hears, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let me drive it to the end now. Fix your eyes on Jesus and get the vision about what God is going to accomplish in your life. A vision of absolute victory. Absolute victory. Touch your neighbor. Preach with me. Say, absolute victory. Now do it with conviction and soul. Absolute victory. Are you sick in your body? No matter for how long. Get the vision of divine and supernatural health and divine healing. Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Father, help my unbelief. Not because I have been ill for a long period, I lose hope of healing. Help my unbelief. Amen. Help our unbelief. God, we pray. May the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus himself, heal you and bring you perfect health. Because he is, he was, and always shall be the great physician. Fix your eyes on Jesus and catch the vision about your finances. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Your help may come through your job, but it does come from heaven. As somebody will say, I came through my mom, but I come from heaven. And my mom is okay with that, where she was. Fix your eyes upon Jesus and get the vision your enemies are defeated. 1 John chapter 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. Not our intelligence, not our wisdom, not our ability to debate or to think. Our faith. And John 16, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Like the apostles, rejoicing after being flogged. I have overcome the world. Fix your eyes upon Jesus and get the vision of happy marriage and prosperous family. Fix your eyes on Jesus and get the vision of the new business adventure, exploding in prosperity and success. Fix your eyes on Jesus and catch the vision of you being absolutely free. Shout with me, I am free. And if you can stand and just jerk like I do, I am free. You let everything fall off your back. Amen. Free from fear of death. Free from every addictive habit. Free from any addictive vice. Free from any fear. Paul tells us in the second book of Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and they, the church, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb that is shed on the cross, and by the word of the testimony, proclamation. So right now, let's stand and have a powerful deliverance ministry through the sound of our proclamation and praise of Jesus Christ who died for us on the cross. Please join me and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the blood of the cross, I am free from the guilt heaped upon me. In the name of Jesus, I am free from every condemnation as a child of God. In Jesus, I am free by God's amazing grace. I am free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of this proclamation. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I am free. Now praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.